Ryan Leong on the Sports Virus. It's my pleasure to be joined by the longtime voice of the San Jose Sharks, Dan Rusinowski, who's done the radio play-by-play for all 25 seasons of Sharks hockey. And Dan, welcome to the Sports Virus.
Great to be with you. Great to catch the virus.
Exactly, right? This is the one virus you don't mind getting. First of all, your thoughts on this Sharks season. I don't even know what to make of it. A team that's played fantastic hockey on the road. I'd say okay hockey at home. What are your thoughts on how the season's gone so far?
That's pretty much the size of it, Ryan. I think the Sharks have been maybe the best team in the league on the road overall all season. There are a couple teams that would argue with that. They're one victory away right now from equaling the all-time mark of 27 wins in a season on the road. And that was the 07-08 season when Ron Wilson was the coach. And remember, that season ended with a four-overtime game against the Dallas Stars. But this team has got an attitude about it. It's got a kind of a swagger about it, and not in a cocky way, but just in a confident way and in a determined way, that they want to be better than they've been in the last couple of years, missing the playoffs last year for the first time in 10 years, but having disappointing playoff runs in two consecutive seasons with seven-game losses against the Kings. Of course, when you're up 3-0, that's the one you remember, but the season before was a good series, but they lost to L.A. in seven games. And they want to atone for all of that with their fans, and I feel that that's been sort of the theme for the season.
What do you make of when you see the Sharks go to Vancouver, have a very dominating performance? Logan Couture gets his first career hat trick. They win 4-1. They come back to San Jose. They lose 4-2. You know, they just haven't played very well at home. I mean, is it safe to say that the Sharks are kind of an enigmatic team this year?
Well, they're disappointing themselves, certainly, because they have a lot of expectations to play well in front of their fans. But it's been really odd this season, the way that that their mojo at SAP Center has been not as good as it should be. One thing that that really comes to mind about the Vancouver game on the road was they got absolutely critical goaltending from James Reimer when they needed it. And I have to be honest, if it weren't for that goaltending in the first period, we might have been talking about a 4-2 loss in Vancouver the other night. So that held the fort for a while. The Sharks got their legs. Everything turned out to be okay in the end. And Vancouver comes in here now, 0-8-1, winless in their last nine, nothing to lose. And they get some inspired performances. You know, Ryan Miller was really good in nets in the game, and Yannick Hansen had a goal and an assist, was really strong. The Sedin twins are always good. And so, you know, this is never an easy out. No team is easy to beat in the NHL anymore. So that's the disappointing part, is that the Sharks really want to do it for their fans at home.
Yeah, I noticed, too, though, when the Sharks tend to give up the early goal, it just doesn't go well for them. I mean, Martin Jones makes the one save, and then he gets, unfortunately, the rebound. And, you know, Daniel Sedin's right there to tap it back in, and before you know it, the Canucks are up 1-0.
Well, that's right. Before you know it, that's the way it goes. And all season long, it's been awfully difficult in this building this year with the Sharks giving up the first goal at home. And I'm not sure what it is, because on the road, they've managed to come back a number of times this year. And you take a look at the total records, and when they give up the first goal, they're 8-8-2 on the road, but they're 2-15 at home. When they're trailing at the end of one, I mean, you know, much worse at home than they are on the road. And it goes right down the line, losing after two. They haven't come back at home this season. They've gotten 2 points, but they're 500 on the road. So I can't figure it out, and I suppose if I could, I'd make a lot more money.
Right. We're joined by Dan Rusinowski, the familiar voice of the San Jose Sharks, and of course you can certainly tell by the timbre of his voice, at least I can, and he's joining us here on the Sports Virus. Now, Dan, all the years you've been covering Sharks hockey, I mean, like you said, you don't really know what to make of this team, but how much fun are you having covering this particular season of Sharks hockey?
Quite a bit of fun, actually, Ryan. It's such a great group of guys, and that part, there is no doubt about it. This is a close-knit group of players with a determined feeling about where they want to finish in the season. They're all great professionals. Coach Peter DeBoer, very professional in the way that he handles himself every game when I talk to him on the coach's show. And the assistant coaches have really been a great addition to the squad, too. I just think that that this is a team that could do something special, and wouldn't it be something if it happened, if they went really far and deeply into the playoffs, because not a lot's expected right now, simply because Anaheim and Los Angeles are so good, and those are the likely teams that they would face. But how many times have we seen that turn around in the playoffs, especially in the first round? So even if the Sharks are on the road, wherever they may be, I think they're going to give the fans that love this team a great bit of entertainment in the playoffs. And I think that fans of other teams probably shouldn't be too eager to face them.
I know as a broadcaster, one of the things you strive for is objectivity, but certainly you've been associated with this team a long, long time. I think you'd bleed teal if I were to poke you. But so how much does it hurt you personally over the years when you see the Sharks haven't quite got there yet. They're still waiting to play their first game ever in the Stanley Cup Finals.
You know, I suppose that I would kind of equate it to what happens to a player when he's playing the game for fun, loves this game his whole life, and then he becomes a professional and does it for a living. And something changes with the relationship of the player to the game when that happens. And it's not that he stops loving the game. That certainly doesn't happen. In fact, the love of the game may be the most important part of it. But the way that he relates to subjects that you're talking about changes a little bit. Yeah, things are disappointing. Yes, they feel certain things when things don't go well. Yes, there's a great deal of elation when things are going well. But it's also their profession. And the same thing happens to a broadcaster. You kind of have to remove yourself a little bit and be a little bit more objective and give credit to the opposition team and make sure that you're reporting on what's going on the ice, because that's the most important thing that we do. We tell people where the puck is, but we also tell them why things are happening, and we have to be honest about it. Not necessarily dwelling on it, mind you, but you have to be fair about that. And I think that we do a pretty good job of walking that line. But, you know, we also know that our majority of our listeners are Sharks fans, and so it's okay to get more excited when the Sharks score. I mean, we're Sharks broadcasters. We're making things exciting for the fans. We're putting them into a frame of mind where they want to come down to the rink and buy tickets and come enjoy the game and be here with their friends and be part of the culture. So I think that that's a big part of what we do. And to answer your question in the exact specific terms from where you asked it, sure you feel disappointed. Sure you want to see the guys do well because they're friends of yours. And so there's an emotional attachment to it. But we also understand that you have to give credit to the other team.
How much do you think it could help this area? I mean, San Jose, of course, have you seen from the time the Sharks played their first game here in the fall of 1993, now this has become the hub of the tech world and you've seen all the changes. I mean, how much do you think that this could sort of, not that this area needs revitalization, because, again, the economy is doing very well here, but what would it mean, do you think, if the Sharks could bring home Lord Stanley's Cup? And you see what happened with the Giants and the Warriors, and now everybody thinks, you know, hey, the Sharks could be next.
I think it could be even more important than all of those put together for a variety of reasons. And I think this is a historical kind of a perspective. I've been here 25 years, but I always understand that San Jose is a bigger city than San Francisco. It is certainly as wealthy or more wealthy than San Francisco is, but it doesn't have the history that San Francisco has. It's not a concentrated city, so it's always been kind of a place where people, at least in the Bay Area, you listen to a traffic report or you listen to a news report, and you listen to a radio station doing the news, and they would always go to the San Francisco story first. And then, oh, yeah, by the way, in San Jose, this is going on. Traffic report, Bay Bridge this, Golden Gate Bridge that, Highway 24 this. And then, oh, by the way, down there in San Jose, this is going on. And so people in San Jose have, I guess you could say, have a chip on their shoulder a little bit because they feel like they're short-shrifted here, and they feel that they're, put in a secondary position. People in Oakland certainly feel the same way. Sure. So I think that this is a coming out party for the city in many respects. The fact that this arena has made downtown so much more accessible, the fact that it's easy to get to, the fact that it's fun when you come, the fact that, for instance, if you live in Walnut Creek, it's actually probably easier to drive down 680 to get to San Jose than it is crossing the Bay Bridge or to get to San Francisco in terms of your aggravation level to see a Giants game, say, or a Warriors game. So you can get to San Jose from both sides of the Bay Area, and a lot of people work here all day anyway, so they've become involved with it. San Jose's never going to be San Francisco. They're not going to have the beautiful, gorgeous hills and the Golden Gate Bridge and all that, but they have so many things that make it a first-class city. And I always say that San Jose was built in the age of the automobile. So if you were to take all of the great things that are in San Jose downtown with the arena and with what's going on here, take all the great stuff in Palo Alto, take all the great stuff in, say, Los Gatos and Saratoga, and put it all into one downtown area, you'd have one of the greatest cities in the world. And so that's what we have here. It just was built in a modern time. And I think that winning the Stanley Cup would bring everybody together. And I think that would be hugely important for this area in terms of its image and so forth. I think great pride is already shown in this area from people that have that little chip on their shoulder. But I think the respect, too, from places around the league really starts to show through as well. And I think a Stanley Cup championship would do all those things.
Dan, thank you so much for your time. We'll close out on this note. For all the 25 years that you've done Sharks hockey, what have you enjoyed the most about being the Sharks' voice, and what's the one thing you still want to accomplish?
Well, obviously, what I'd like to do is call a Stanley Cup championship, and that's what everybody in San Jose wants. I think the things that I've enjoyed the most include fulfilling a lifelong dream of being able to paint that picture for people that that are listening, for the ability to be in the NHL and to travel around with a great group of guys and work for some unbelievable franchise owners, but mostly also living in San Jose and being with the fans who love this game and who are just as invested in it as anybody. To me, it's a thrill every day to come to work and to represent that as we go on the road. And I can tell you that it's very important to everybody inside that the Sharks locker room and in the broadcast booth to give it effort that people here are proud of, and that's what I feel the most about it.
All right, and thanks for joining us, Dan Wisniewski, on our version of Sharks Extra here on the Sports Virus.
Love it. I loved catching the virus.